Active with Midlands 183, powered by HereMed Healthcare in the heart of Tullamore. Here when you need us. HereMed.ie.
So this week on Get Active, on the back of running 28 kilometres, we decided, let's take it easy. Let's try and recuperate. So it was Monday off, and on Tuesday, back into the gym again to do a bit of a cycle, cross train, and a little bit of treadmill. Then on Wednesday, as part of rest, I decided to go for a splash in the pool and stretch out the legs and do a couple of lengths of the pool. And on Thursday, it was back into Cathleagan and Physio Central in Tullamore for an update on how everything is going. I did feel a few little kind of twinges in that after I did the 28k the other day, Col. In around the knee area. So I don't know, is that just the knee getting used to doing all that mileage or whatever? But is there anything I can do between now and then that might maybe strengthen the knees a little bit, or should I just keep doing what I'm doing?
Peter, so I suppose you've upped the mileage reasonably quickly because of the injury. You know, it hasn't been as gradual as maybe the plan was. So there has been kind of a little bit of quicker jump, and we're kind of going to be expecting a few of these little niggles along the way. Knee, you're probably getting a bit of a patellar tendonitis, runner's knee, basically. So it's you know, kicking in really at this stage. But it's about managing that at this stage. I'll actually get you doing a little bit more quad stretching. Simple enough way to do it. You're doing your icing after your runs. So get your focus on the knee a little bit for that. Yeah, it's just about being, I suppose, aware of these few little things for the next couple of weeks, not pushing anything too much. You're going to be doing your last long run, I think, next weekend, isn't it? Then it's kind of been brought down from there.
So we've done our last long run. Yeah. So we're going to start coming down
a bit now. Yeah. So the likelihood with things coming down is that's probably not going to get any worse. Till maybe after the marathon. It might kick in a bit then after that, but you'll have lots of time to recover then. But today's session, we're just kind of looking to iron out a few little things, keep on top. We had a good chat about getting your gear ready, little things to bring, Vaseline, gels, you know, your phone holders, all that kind of thing. Old top to wear before the race, keep warm, keep the body temperature warm. Yeah, but that's pretty much it. Calf, as you're saying, is pretty good. You said it's giving you a bit of a reminder now and again, the odd time. You said we'll swim the other night. That's probably going to be a little bit of residual, you know, feeling in that after the injury. It's a significant enough injury. Hasn't got a whole pile of rest time. It's been rehab straight to running, so not unusual to have a little bit of residual sort of feeling in that, but I wouldn't be concerned about it.
Perfect. Lovely. I plan on doing a 10-kilometre run today. Would you recommend after the treatment, or would you recommend a bit of rest?
Yeah, I'd say it should be fine today. Perfect. Yeah, we just did a light kind of bit of, you know, kind of flush out there on the legs today, so it should be fine. It was nothing too kind of intense, so yeah, should be fine. Be fine.
And so I'm keeping up the muscle exercise you're giving me to build up the calf and that as well. Should I do anything different between now and then, or should I just keep that going? Or, you know, in terms of the knees, do we need to build them up or anything, or will I just leave them?
Yeah, no, I just work on managing things at this stage. It's a little bit too close to time to start any kind of strength training or kind of rehab stuff for that. I'd say it's kind of manage symptoms, get to the race, through the race, and then, you know, if you're continuing your running career on after, we kind of look at, you know, longer term on them things, but a little bit too close to the time to be kind of trying to rehab specifics like that.
Lovely. So we don't do anything different. We keep it consistent stick with the plan.
Keep it consistent. Like the likelihood is, you know, probably going to have a few little niggles to kind of think about before the race. But once the race starts, that they'll go out the window, and, you know, you're training, your miles will kick in, and saying that probably the last 10k will just be a mind over body exercise at that stage. I'd say that's the way they are generally with the marathon. So and that shouldn't be an issue. You have the crowd there, you have your pride to push you along as well. So yeah.
Thanks, Will Cole.
Thanks a million, Peter.
Then on Thursday evening, it was time to get out and pound the pavements again.
10 kilometers done. Feel good. You know, it's gas when you say 10 kilometres is I don't want to say easy, but it's very doable at this stage, so I'm happy out with that. I can feel my knee a little bit though. I was chatting to Carl about it earlier, so I'm going to have to get home, get some ice on the knee, give it a bit of treatment over the next while. Less than 3 days time, we're going to aim for 20 kilometres, so hopefully all will be okay by then. Fingers crossed anyways. But yeah, another run down. Let's go.
We thought it'd be a great challenge to go from sitting on a couch having a cup of tea to running a marathon in 18 weeks. And some people said, oh, look, guys, you're crazy. I've never done anything like that before. But what about a man that did considerably less than that? His name is Oisin Mulligan, a.k.a. Mulligan's Fitness on all your social media. You ran the Dublin City Marathon in how many weeks preparation?
So about 8 weeks. I say it because I got a text.
Eight weeks?
Yeah, I documented the whole thing. It was so funny because I actually bought my runners when I got the text. So I got a text from a charity, and it would have been a charity very close to me because one of the clients that I'd worked with for maybe 2 years passed away, Cancer Care West in Galway, and they looked after her very well. And I made a donation at the time, so they had my phone number, and they messaged me maybe 8 weeks before the Dublin Marathon. I can't remember the exact text. I think they might have told me that, oh, do you want to run a marathon? But I expected that this would be in a year's time, not now. I expected this to be in a couple of months time, and I said yes. I was like, yeah, 100%, like, I'd do anything for them, I don't really care. And I like pushing myself out of my comfort zone as well. I was like, yep. And then they text me back, oh, it's in 8 weeks time, or it's on the 31st of October, I think they said. And at that time it was like September, and I was like, I am in so much trouble here, because I can't text them back and be like, no. Because what actually happened is they didn't have me as their first choice even. Someone dropped out of the race, and then they're like, oh, you know this guy who came in here before and he does personal training online. But then I'm not a runner. Like, so running, you know yourself from training the last little while. Running fitness is completely different.
Absolutely, 100% different. Yeah.
So when it came to that, I was like, oh shit, all right, I better get some form of training. And I got really nervous, got really anxious. I remember I went on my Instagram story and I was like, right, I have to do this. I'm after accepting this. And I actually came to Tullamore to buy my shoes. I can't remember where, but I bought a pair of Hoka's.
Oh, it's a running shop, was it?
Yeah.
There on Cormac Street.
Everyone recommended it. Yeah. And so I drove from Athlone across and I was like, look, I need a pair of runners. I've run a marathon in 8 weeks. I heard the runners are going to help me get to the finish line. Give me the best one. So he gave me a pair of Hoka runners. And after that, I went out my first run. So I remember I got home straight away after and went out for, I think I might have ran 3K, but I was dying after.
Wow. 3K. And what was your level of fitness at that stage?
Wouldn't have been too bad. So I'd competed in a jiu-jitsu competition on the May time, or maybe just previous to that. But after jiu-jitsu competitions, you're generally wrote off, so my training had really dropped off because I just took a little bit of time away from things. So it wouldn't have been great. It wouldn't have been anywhere near my top level of fitness. And I've never really been this picture of a fit personal trainer. I do exercise for the sake of how it makes me feel, not for anything else. So I'm not in the gym 24/7. Like, I didn't go to the gym yesterday. I won't even make it to the gym today. I might wake up tomorrow. So I might make 3 sessions per week because I fit it within my life rather than let it take over.
Yeah.
So at that time, it was quite similar. So yeah, it was a challenge.
And you weren't a runner before that?
No. So I think I actually had coached a guy before running. So Warren Francis, if you look him up online, you'll see he ran 100 miles around a 2 kilometre track in Athlone, the regional sports centre.
Wow.
He literally just ran around that multiple times. So I was coaching him at the time. He was about 100 and something kilos, over 100 and something kilos, and he lost the weight. And then he was like, I really want to push myself out of my comfort zone. And he set up that. He raised a load of money for charity. I would have helped him train for that a little bit. So I think at that time, maybe my furthest run with him might have been 15K in around that. And that was a real challenge for me at the time. But that would have been post-COVID, just after COVID.
Okay.
And this would have been a couple of years later. But running history, I wouldn't have had a huge amount of it. I think I'd completed a half marathon max before actually doing the marathon.
So what was your training plan? I mean, where do you go from there and go, this is the level I have to reach in such a short space of time?
So I went straight on to Instagram reels, TikTok reels. I mean, like, is it possible, first of all? And then, like, I think a big thing for me, right, when it comes to any sort of challenge, is looking back at all the hard things that I've faced in life. And this might sound a little bit weird of like, gosh, this is just running, but with every challenge that I face, even last year, public speaking wouldn't be something that I absolutely love. It's something that I'm afraid of. I'd be quite kind of just, I don't know, silent or a quiet kid. I would have just like kept to myself. Even now with the social media phone, I keep to myself most of the time, and I had to do a talk in front of like 700 people out and not Portugal and Brighton last year, and that pushed me out of my comfort zone. But whenever it comes to pushing myself out of my comfort zone, I always think back to the hard things that I've been through in life. So like, for example, my mum and dad's divorce would have been one thing that I remember from a kid, and I'd be like, okay, if I can get through that, I can get through this. Yeah. It'd be looking back at other things, like my jiu-jitsu competition. I got absolutely thrown around the place, like, okay, if I can get absolutely thrown around the place and that, and someone's trying to kill me, a marathon is really nothing. Like, I can literally walk it if I have to. That'd be my mindset surrounding anything. And I think anything challenging in life that you're facing a hard time, it's always good to look back at the evidence that you've built up of the hard things that you faced. And that's essentially what I did. I was like, okay, if I can do that, I can do this. So my first run was the 3K, as I said, but I was meant to go out and run 5. I couldn't finish the 5. I ran 3, and I was like, okay, right, now it's settling in. And I recorded a little bit of a video talking to lads, just like, do you know what, one of the things is when you face setbacks like this and you're not reaching the mark that you want to reach, you just don't give up and you try again. So I got up the next day, went out for a run again. I think in max I went out for maybe 4 runs a week. I had a holiday in the middle of it, as I spoke about as well. So I had a holiday booked for Lanzarote. I think it was about 2 weeks before the marathon as well. So I knew
2 weeks before the marathon.
So I knew I had to go for a run, and like, I wasn't looking after my diet then when I was in Lanzarote. I wouldn't recommend anyone try and do that because you're going to end up feeling worse. But what I did do was made sure I got a run in. So I knew that was going to be my target, because generally the week before the marathon you try and reduce the amount of running that you're doing. So realistically, even with 8 weeks of training, I have 7 straight away, and then being away on holiday I have 6. I'm like, okay, so my goal was that I set the market, I'm going to run 30k in Lanzarote, because I know if I can run that in the 30 degree heat or however hot it is out there, that I can run it in Ireland. I just set that challenge in my head. Once I get something in my head, I'm like, I have to do it. So I set that as the marker. Then my goal was to try and build up as close to that per week before getting to Lanzarote. So 30k, and then 30k was the last run that I was going to do before the marathon. I was just going to take time off and go.
How did you run in Lanzarote 30? Because I did it 4 years ago. I ran 5k in Lanzarote. Now, I never really ran more than 5k anyways, but by the time I got back, I had a shower. Yeah. And I dried myself off. Then I had to dry myself off. Then I had to dry myself. I had to sit out in the balcony to try and dry off. Like, how did you do 30k?
Yeah, oh, geez, it was mental. So I had one of my good friends out there with me. He's a personal trainer as well, and he had never ran a mad distance either. But I said it to him before going out. I was like, right, we'll just do it. So I got a rental car. I filled the car up with bottles of water, some electrolyte drinks, and a load of snacks like sweets and stuff. We didn't bring the right stuff at all, because we were coming back around to the car and we'd feel sick when we were going to have to shovel things down. So there was like a T in a road, so there was a left hand side and a right hand side. We ran off to the right hand side. I think it was 5 kilometres, and then 5k back, so it was like 10k.
Okay.
And so we came back to the car, and then we'd get our snacks. I think it was like 5 minutes of a rest, and then we went off the left hand side, so it was a little bit of a different
very good
back again. But then we had to do that the I think it might have actually only been 5k or something anyways, because I remember coming back to that car like 6 or 7 times and it was torturous. We got sick about 3 times doing it. The sweat was pouring off us. I remember after that whole day, after I just lay down on the couch, I was like, I can't move. But it was one of those moments as well where, like, if you're going through a tough time, I'm like, first of all, I always relate back to, again, that thing of I've been through harder stuff. And then also having a bigger reason as they're doing it, like doing it for the charity and a woman that was so fucking good to me back in the day. I was like, okay, let's just try and push myself out of comfort zone. I knew, like, if it came to the 30k and I only got to 25, I could walk the rest. I wouldn't beat myself up for doing that.
Okay.
I just wanted to see if I could do it. That's a big thing. A question that people should ask themselves is just see if I can. Like, okay, I'll try. We'll figure it out when it happens. I think a lot of people hold back from doing that because they're afraid of failing. Meanwhile, I didn't care. Like, it wasn't that I didn't care. It was just like, I failed so many times before. Even my social media with my business, before my business took off, I was 12 grand in debt. And I was like, if I can get through that, I can get through this. And it's always what's gotten me through stuff like that, and including the marathon, is I'll just see if I can. Let's just try it and that's it. And if it doesn't work out, we'll figure it out then. And that was a big thing with the 30k and Lanzarote. But yeah, it was torturous.
Wow. I love your attitude towards that, because it's one thing that kind of resonates with me as well, is on doing this training, the practicalities of training for a marathon. You could apply the same principle for your career, for what you're studying, for your business, for relationships.
Yeah.
You kind of look at the goal and go, well, where do I want to be? I want to be here. How do I get here? Who do I need to talk to? Who knows more about this than I do in order to achieve our goals?
Yeah.
Like, it's a fantastic mindset you have, that you can say, right, this is how we do. And not afraid of failure.
Yeah.
That is, so many people are afraid of failure because, you know, if you fail once, a lot of people kind of show themselves.
Yeah.
I tried, I failed, and that was it. I'm not going any further. But it's the failure that makes you stronger. It's Muhammad Ali that says, you know, it's not how you get hit, it's how you get back up again.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I think so many people get caught up in that fear of failure. I think, like, regards to things in life, like I've suffered with my mental health a lot, and whenever I've struggled with my mental health, it's always when I've not had something push me out of my comfort zone or trying to push myself on a bit. It's always when I get stuck in a little bit of a rut, and like obviously something has happened in my life, so or whatever has gone on, then I've not felt great, and it's always like my solution to that always is just to try and push myself out of my comfort zone and do something. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like it gets your focus on something, takes your mind off everything else that's going on, and as you said, it's just like figuring out how. It's like a little bit of problem solving, especially with the marathon. Yeah. Because as you got injured there a couple of weeks ago, and straight away it's like, okay, how do I get over this, or what do I do to kind of get around that?
Can I get an alternative route to my destination?
That's it. Yeah. And rather than seeing it as failure, because I think for so long, and this comes back to like even that fat loss stuff of the thing of the story that we tell ourselves, because so many people have maybe fell into a trap of telling themselves they're a failure. Again, that thing of I'm fat, I can't do things. That's a story that I constantly tell myself over time, and I've just have to switch that narrative, because what happens then is that relates and seeps into everything. That seeps into my marathon training, where if I don't make the 25 kilometre or the 30 kilometre I want to run, instantly I'm fat, I'm lazy, I'm overweight, I can't do things, I can't stick things, I'm not able to do that. So what it is trying to reframe that, and how you reframe that is by building up these small little wins. Like I'd often talk about people with weight loss, if you're really struggling with weight loss or really struggling to get into something, let's just make how I talk about it is like a runway. So imagine you're coming and you had to land on a runway the size of Clara Road out there. Impossible, probably going to crash the plane, probably not going to be great. And if you crash the plane once, then you have to get back into the plane again and fly again. Are you going to be confident landing it the second time? No. So your best option is to widen the runway as much as possible. So how we widen the runway is by adjusting our goals to make the runway really, really wide. So for example, step counts is something that people are mad for nowadays, and they just have a 10,000 step goal. That's like the Clara Road. It's too small, really, really hard to land on. But if I go, okay, your goal is going to be between 2,000 and 10,000, then the runway is really wide. And if we hit 10,000, we've still landed on runway, we're going really, really well.
Yeah.
Excited. If we hit 2,000, we've still done really well. Yeah. We've landed on runway.
Brilliant.
And I think it's the same with the running, is if, okay, my goal is to go out and run and try and run the marathon. Everyone's goal when they're going to run the marathon is to try and run it. If I don't run it, it's not that big of a deal. I'm going to walk parts of it. I've still completed the marathon, which how many people, what percentage of people complete marathons over their lifetime? Very few. And it's even the thing of like going to the gym. It's zooming back out a little bit of being like, right, I've ran and say I went to run in Lanzarote and I failed and I ran 25 kilometres. It's zooming back out and actually being like, how many people have actually ran 25 kilometres in their lives? Not very many people.
Yeah,
even people going to the gym. How many people actually go to the gym? Think of your next door neighbours, or think of a person down the road. Have they ever gone to the gym? Have they ever done anything? And you're the one getting up and maybe going, or going the evening time and pushing yourself very comfortable. And it's to zoom out and actually realise, Jesus, I have this confidence in myself. I am doing things that I should be doing. And as I said, it's building up those small wins. So when we start landing a plane on the runway that's really, really wide, of the 2,000 to 10,000 steps, or the 5 kilometre run to 10 kilometre run of how much I want to run, then we can start shortening a little bit, because we're a little bit more confident. Then we can shorten it a little bit, and then eventually we'll be able to land the plane on Clara Road and we'll be like, oh my god, right, I'm absolutely brilliant now, I can do this and I feel more confident. But it's just building that up for people, I think, is
brilliant.
The hard part, and people skip that.
Yeah,
just instantly straight to the small road to try and land on.
What a great analogy. That is fantastic. I can picture it right now. It's fantastic. So talk me through the Dublin City Marathon. You get there, describe the atmosphere.
Yeah, so before competitions or before anything, I do get quite anxious, quite nervous. But I think it's quite normal. Like the way my therapist would describe it to me is like that you really care about something. So if you're anxious, nervous about it, it's actually a good thing because you care about it. If you wake up and you don't really care, like what's the point in doing it?
Exactly.
Anyway? So it's with everything in life, even with the jiu-jitsu competitions, as I said, like I'm going in there and some guy's trying to strangle me and I'm nervous, I'm anxious because I care about not letting
him
do
that.
So with the marathon, I remember waking up, I was quite nervous, quite anxious. I had two of my best friends there and my girlfriend there at the time. And we were kind of just like having a good chat, and they were preparing my food for me because I was too nervous. I didn't want to do anything. So they're like, okay, you have to eat this or try to get this into you before you go. And then I had a bottle of Lucozade Sport that I brought with me as well. Anyways, got there and then I seen everybody and I was like, oh my God, because Dublin City Marathon's massive.
Yeah.
There are so many people there. And so I remember I had to walk in past the barriers and they're not allowed in past that far. So the second I went in there, then the nerves really hit.
Were you on your own then?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow,
so they had barriers set up. And this is where I was like, okay, now I have this little bit lack of self-belief. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it. Because when I was walking in, I was seeing all these like people who are clearly like advanced runners. They had their vests, everything set up, their Salomon pouches and with the water and like Lucozade Sport packs and the hydrogels and everything, and I was have none of this. I had such a crappy phone holder that it broke halfway around, so when I was running it actually snapped, and sure I had to hold my phone in my hand then the whole way around. But anyway, so I was going, and then we got to the start line, and I was in like the middle group, and I could see the advanced runners up ahead. And I seen them take off and I was like, oh my God, I'm definitely in the wrong group here. Like, I'm not going to be able to keep up with these guys. But it's handy. So in the Dublin City Marathon, run unbelievably well. I would not have been able to finish it if they didn't have it that ran that well. They had the drink stops or whatever, but they also had these things that really pushed me on. So balloons. So they attached a balloon to a guy and you could see what pace he was doing.
Okay. So they're the pacers like you're following.
Yeah. And it was so cool because I could see I wanted to finish in and around 4:30. I don't know why I got that in my head whatsoever. So the 4:30 balloon was there and the 5 balloon was then behind him. So my plan was to try and sit behind and just do a little bit of a lighter pace and take off at the end because okay. I knew I had the ability to explode. I'd be quite like explosive with my fitness. My long-term fitness wouldn't be 100% great. So I was like, okay, I'll just sit in behind and try and jog along behind these guys. But they were quick and I didn't expect that at all. I was like, oh my God. So I was just ahead of the 5 fella for a lot of the race, started to fall a little bit behind them. And then towards the end, there was like, I'm kind of skipping the whole way through here. Let's actually go back a little bit first before getting to the end, keep the story going. There's a part of the marathon anyways, I think it was about halfway through and I was dying to go to the toilet because they're giving you the Lucozade Sport as you're going giving you water. And to be honest, I think I overdrank on those things, so it's like very easy to overdrink on water. And what you're doing then is flushing out all your electrolytes, and if you're not getting electrolytes back in via salt or via your hydrogels and that, you'll actually feel weaker and more sick and stuff. So it's just something to watch out for, is trying not to drink too much water. Try and do a mix of both. Anyways, felt quite sick. I was like, okay, I need to go to the toilet. So I went into the toilet. But I remember, so they have a track on you and everybody can see what's going on. And I had my phone in my pouch at this stage, so I couldn't access any notifications, but I could hear them in my ear, like Siri would read them out to me on my iPhone. So I went into the toilet and I couldn't get out. So my hand was on the thing and I was going...
You were stuck in the portaloo.
But it wasn't because the door wasn't open. It was because I was genuinely couldn't move. My legs had frozen
and my
body was just stuck. So I think it felt like 20 minutes. It was like 5 minutes in there anyways. And instantly when I stopped, because they can see it on the map, they're all asking me like, you okay? Did you hurt yourself? Because I had a hip injury actually prior.
Right, okay.
I didn't speak about two. So I had a hip injury when they rang me, I had a bad hip injury to the point where like I couldn't really run at all.
Oh God.
Like I couldn't do anything. And so that was documented on my Instagram where I got the anti-inflammatory.
Yeah,
that was them. So I was taking them, but like even on the day, my hip was in bits. There's a video of me halfway around and being like, my hip is done. Like I can't even lift my leg off the ground. Because when you're running, you need that hip to raise your knee. And I couldn't raise my knee anymore. So my leg was like dragging along the ground as I was running. This was at like the 30k mark throughout the race. But anyways, I got stuck in the portal.
Oh God.
And everyone was texting me. So I was hearing all these notifications in my ear being like, are you okay? Have you stopped? Have you done whatever? And Siri's reading them out. And then I was like, oh my God. And someone luckily behind me opened the door. And then do you know the fright of when you're in the bathroom? I had nothing out, don't worry. But I was in the bathroom and someone opened the door behind me and I was like, okay. And I kind of almost fell backwards out and then went running again. And I just said to myself after that, I can't stop.
Like,
stop moving, because if I stop moving,
I hear you.
It's only going to get worse. And that's like, I suppose, not a bit of advice for you, but a thing that I learned as well after is lactic acid builds up faster if you stop moving. So as you're moving, your body will actually burn off the lactic acid that you're using.
Okay.
But if you stop, you allow that to build up, and that's why I froze in the portaloo at that stage.
I think that's what they call it when you hit the wall as well, isn't it?
The buildup
of lactic acid and you just can't move.
Oh, it was rotten. That was rotten.
Oh,
that was the most disgusting part of the of the run. But what was great is the community aspect around like all the people cheering you on, shouting on. So after I came out of that, and like there was a big massive uphill part after, there was kids there holding out a sign being like, hit this button for extra energy and stuff. And you see them cheering and you had your name on the front, so they'd all be shouting out your name. They were like, oh, she can keep going.
Brilliant.
Or whatever.
Amazing.
And that, like, I would not have finished it without that whatsoever.
Wow.
But it's always good, and it shows the importance of support and community. Like the guy that you're doing the runs with, or the guys in here that you're doing the runs with, like without that it'd be very hard to do it.
And even 100%.
In any sport or anything, I think that's important to community. As I was talking about, like getting into classes, you're doing weightlifting classes and stuff, it builds that kind of surrounding of people around you and people who are like-minded, because it's very easy to fall into a trap of just going to work, meeting your co-workers, doing whatever, not really having that community basis around and just seeing them and work, having a coffee with them and going back home, rather than having that thing of really pushing each other on and supporting each other. And to have someone like that in your life can change it. And like, even as I talked about with my weight loss journey, I wouldn't have been able to lose my weight without my brother. My brother is the biggest part in that, and I think in every aspect of life it's so important. I'm only thinking of it here as you're talking about, like, without that community support.
No, you're 100% right. You need that support network around you.
Yeah.
And even, you know, from the point of view of people allowing you to go and do this, you know, be it you know, your wife or your partner, says, look, I'll mind the kids, you go for a run, or you go to the gym, or whatever, you go to do your class, or, you know, you know, you need that support network around you. 100%.
I think that's something that is underrated, or like not taken on board enough, and have that, like, to run a marathon alone would be torturous, like to not do it with anyone there, to just run it by yourself and not have any sort of support there. I don't think I could do something like that. Maybe if you push really, really hard, but I think that that's actually more difficult than running a marathon, even having a marathon buddy to train with.
Oh, I agree 100%. Somebody that's going to send you a message, go, come on up, we're going. And you go, I don't feel like it. But even, you know, you're out and about, you're having the laugh, you're having the joke, you know, you could be telling your problems, you know what I mean, and you finish and you feel great.
I think that as well, having a conversation with someone, you're out for a run or out for a walk, even meeting up a friend and just going for a walk and allowing yourself to just speak about things that are difficult or what's going on or how you're feeling, I think is super important. A good part of sport that maybe isn't touched on either as well. But yeah, it's so funny. The marathon I find hilarious looking back, because I'm like, that was actually probably a stupid thing to do, because I was injured for ages after. My hip was so bad. But I remember anyways, I was holding, so I wanted to finish in 4:30. And I was, as I said, I was near the 5 balloon. I was, as I was going along the marathon, I was falling further and further behind with the 4:30. I was like, I really want to take that off. So anyways, I pushed myself for like the last 5 kilometres, or coming up to the last bit, you're on like the M50. So you're running along the side of it, and it's just a straight patch. And you're like, oh my God, this is never going to end. It
looks huge.
But some guard had seen me struggling. Some guard was watching me struggling with my head down, and I was jogging along, and he came over and he just gave me a pat on the back. He's like, I'm going to keep going. And he gave me a Lucozade Sport, a little cup of it, and I was like, all right. So I drank that, and I felt 100% after. I was like, this is unreal. So I caught up to the 4:30 balloon. I was maybe a little bit behind it, and there's a big massive straight patch at the end. I think the straight patch might be over a kilometre long, might be like 1.5k long or 2 kilometres.
I've heard
long.
About that.
And you're like, you see it, it's counting down, it's like 1.9 metres or whatever left, and I'm like, oh my God. So I sprinted, I full blown absolutely sprinted. There's a video on my Instagram, people are like, how did you end up having that much energy to sprint at the end? But it's because I wanted to pass out that balloon. So you just see me absolutely bombing it, and then just above at the time it was 4:29.9 or something. As I finished. And I was like, oh my God. But it was so funny, because at the end of the marathon, when they send you out your medal, or they send you out like a certificate or whatever first via your email, and then you will receive the medal. So they sent me, or you receive the medal, and then you receive like a little code for it after, so that you can attach a little code to it that tells you in what time you finished.
Oh yeah.
But you receive an email about it first. So in the email it said 4:32 or something. And I was like, no way. Like, I was under that time. I remember running underneath at that time, but they staggered the start times as well. So I was like, oh, maybe I did come in over. And then they sent out the actual code, and it was 4:29.9. And I celebrated. I was like, yes. So it was one of those things I was absolutely delighted about. But it's so funny as well how I was a failure after doing a whole marathon, and I came out 4:32. I was like, oh my God.
Isn't that amazing? You know what I mean? What an incredible achievement within itself. But then you had another achievement within the achievement that you wouldn't have been happy with.
That would have been crazy. Even thinking back, I was like, the mindset that I was in after crossing that finish line and hearing that, I was like, oh, that's so annoying. But then, and I was convinced myself, so after that I was like, I'm going to do another one, I'm just going to get that 4:30 mark. Then after the thing came on the post, I was like, I never do another one. It didn't matter then.
And what was it like when you crossed the line? Like, what was the feeling like? Was it relief? Was it emotional?
Yeah, to be honest, I'd say I nearly cried. I can't remember it too well, just because I was so emotional. And like at the Dublin Marathon, I actually like the way they did this as well. So you can't leave straight away. You have to like walk around a big path to get to the exit, because they keep the spectators a good bit away.
Okay.
Like you probably have to walk close to a kilometre to get, maybe half a kilometre to get to the exit. So it gives you that moment of just being by yourself, and you have your medal, you have your bag with all your stuff in it, and you're just walking. And I was just thinking about it. I remember that was quite emotional, and being like, oh my God, you just think about everything and all the things you've been through. And not only that, but I think running gives you that space where there's nothing much else going on in your head, as in you're not thinking about what you have to do tomorrow, you're not thinking about what you have to do in 3 weeks time, what appointment you have in the doctors, or what work stuff you have to do, or that person that gave out you, whatever. You're thinking about the now, and then maybe things in the past that have gone on that are going to push you on even further and try and make you go. So it's like a real head clear, is that what I'd call it? I think so.
Yeah.
A little bit of a head clear.
Yeah.
Like, makes you real clear. So like after I was walking back to the guys that were waiting for me with a bag, I just got a moment to kind of reflect and all that sort of stuff, and I just felt happy. I think that's the way to put it, from taking off any. And I think that it's probably the same with taking off any achievement. I've heard people talk about it before, as like running 10k is nearly the same feeling, your first 10k is nearly the same feeling as running your first marathon. And I'd say your first first marathon is nearly like running your first 100 miles or your first whatever achievement it is almost the same feeling as everything else. It's just that feeling of putting your head down and getting something that's really, really difficult done.
Absolutely. It's all relative, whether you're going from couch to 5K, couch to 10K, couch to half or full marathon or whatever. It's all relative. You know what I mean? Don't let anybody ever tell you, actually, that's only a whatever. No, in your world, this is a huge achievement and you have to get to the 5 before you get to the 10, before you get to the half or whatever you want to do.
And I think that's why when I was talking to you guys the last day and you were telling me about that you're going out to do the marathon and like you're documenting like this, I don't think I don't think you realise how much of an impact you're actually having on people to show people that, oh my God, you actually can go out and run. And even the message that you're spreading with regards to just get up and run 5K or just get up and run 2K. Because, as we talked about earlier, it's much easier for someone to leave a negative review and just be like, oh no, you're talking shite or you're doing this or you're not able to do this or whatever, rather than people who are actually positively impacted. Like there might be someone driving their car now that has not exercised in ages and just listening to the podcast and being like, oh my God, maybe I'll go out and try it. That sounds really fun. And that one turning point might change someone's whole entire life. It's the same as I talk about, like if you go into a business, you never see anyone leaving a positive review after leave a petrol station or a positive review after leave a Supermax or leave whatever.
True,
but straight away, the second something bad happens, they'll go on and leave a negative review. So there's one star straight away. So it's the same with stuff like this. I think to give some recognition to yourself to go out and make exercise accessible to everybody, because that's what it should be, rather than coming on a podcast here, which some runners would do or some people would do and talk down a certain exercise. So rather than being like, oh, running is the greatest thing ever, don't do this or don't do that, you're like, just get into any form of movement that you can. And
absolutely,
start with the 5K or start with the 2K or start with the 1K. And I think he did something where you ran together with people as well, or
there was a few of us involved here. We did the half marathon as well, so a few of us in the station. But like what we wanted to originally do was, because I went looking for a podcast that will tell you how to run a marathon from scratch. There was nothing.
So
we said, right, okay, well, let's put one together. And we said, right, we're going to be honest about this, you know, warts and all. And my God, we were honest.
But I think it's so important, and like to like put that out there for people, and to make, that's the main thing, to make it accessible. That's what I want to try and do with my social media and with everything as well, is just make it as simple and easy and support people as much as possible rather than tearing people down.
Absolutely. And the amount of people who got in touch with us as well, you probably get it on a regular basis as well. People get in touch saying, I've never done this before, but I'm doing it now because of listening to you, because of listening to the podcast, because of the advice, because of the experts you had on, all that kind of stuff. And it's an amazing feeling, you know, that you've had that impact on somebody's life, some positive impact. I've had people message me, I don't know, a lot of people saying they've gotten to running or they've got back to running. I've got texts from friends of mine who are back up and running as well. And it's just, it's an amazing feeling to be able to do something like
and
this.
And it's so good to give that positivity back to other people that, like, again, the impact that you're having, you might not actually even realise how far it goes. And the only reason I do is because I work with people for about 6 months to a year to even over that on their health and fitness goals. You don't realise the difference that even stepping outside to get on your first run can make to someone's life.
Absolutely.
The messages that I have are absolutely heartbreaking sometimes, of listening to people's stories previous to getting into health and fitness or to anything at all, to then after they get into their life has completely changed. And again, it comes back to that thing of like someone's first kilometre, they might have always thought, I'm fat, I'm lazy, I can't do this, I'm not able to stick to things, and have that self-confidence or have that thing absolutely completely zero. But then they've told themselves, I'm going to get out and I'm going to run 500 metres, I'm going to walk 500 metres, I'm going to do something. They've challenged themselves off the back of you talking about it here, and that challenge then increases their self-confidence, increases their happiness, makes them feel a little bit better and more able to tackle challenges on a day-to-day basis and more able to tackle life when it gets tough.
Absolutely.
And I think that's something that, And just to give, like, again, massive shout out to you guys in here, like pushing that out there is absolutely amazing. And that's why the second you're like, oh, do you want to come over to the podcast? I was like, yes, right away. Come bring me over straight away, because anything I can do to get that message out there as well, even more, 100% count me down for it.
That's amazing, Oisin. And thanks so much. But it must be like one of your goals where when you see somebody who you've coached, somebody who you've brought through in terms of fitness or nutrition, and you might be going for a walk someday, going for a drive, and you see them out running by themselves.
Yeah.
Like that must be one of the end goals for you.
Yeah, so cool. Like I've had so many moments within my group and so many different levels of fitness. So like I run an online coaching platform, and look, like, negatively and positively, it sells out pretty much straight away. So like pretty much, I think it was 120 spaces went the last time in under 10 minutes, disappeared.
Wow.
And they're like, I can't do anything to take on any more people. I would love to, but I just can't look after the people as best as I'd like. And like some of the wins within that group, like I've had people who have ran their first marathon, just started into a running club, which is absolutely amazing. I had a girl that had never lifted weights before, within 6 months deadlift 100 kilos and be absolutely delighted. But again, it comes down to that thing of, it's not even that I notice the differences in their weights and they've lost this X amount of weight or whatever. I think that's all surface level crap that nobody, at the end of the day, nobody cares. Like, I don't know what your scale weight is. Mary down the road, nobody knows what your scale weight is. Nobody really cares about that either. It's about the person that you are and the self-confidence you have and the support that you give other people. And within that group, to see a person come in and be really self-conscious and really nervous because they have to introduce themselves and stuff, that's quite difficult, to then come to a point where they're one of the most confident people in the group because they've just gone out and lifted a little bit heavier weight. And it's like, oh my god, it's amazing that taking off those challenges and those boxes can do. And like, even women that would have been menopausal coming in and like struggling with any form of movement and being really debilitated with the symptoms of it and stuff, and like, it goes a lot deeper than I even knew about before working with people and working with them for years to learn about it. But I think then seeing the same person come back to me in 8 weeks time and actually be like, Oisin, do you know what, my movement is much better, whatever, it's much better and I'm feeling more happy in myself and I don't feel like I can't wear certain clothes because of a scale number or whatever. That's amazing. We're so caught up in the scale number, and that's something that I haven't heard you talk about either, is like, I'm down this amount of pounds from running, or I've started it for this. Every time I hear you talk about running, it's like, I've enjoyed it, or I'm doing this and I'm pushing myself and I can't wait to get to the next level or do this. If everybody looked at sport and looked at fitness and looked at health in that manner, it would last much longer term for people and they would enjoy it a lot more. Because if I'm sat down on a couch after a long day of work and I'm saying to myself, I'm fat, I'm lazy, I have to get up and go to the gym because I don't want to be fat anymore. Like, I'm not getting up off that couch because it's negative straight away. But if I'm sat down on the couch and I'm like, I'm fat, I'm lazy, I'm not feeling good after work, my boss has been a little bit annoying, whatever has gone on, I guarantee you, if you use exercise for the sake of feeling better and you understand how it makes you feel, you get up off that couch and go out.
Just
because you know it's going to make you feel better. And everybody wants to feel a little bit better, but you don't put that as the primary focus. They think that losing weight on the scales is going to cause that to happen, and that's where most people that would join my program come in at. And I'm like, right, we're going to switch that in 8 weeks. I guarantee you don't give a shit about scales anymore. It's going to completely change so that, oh, I'm feeling better myself. I have more mobility and I'm more self-confident because I've done this thing that I said I wanted to do. And that's where it comes from. Like, any coach or anyone that's trying to sell you that this is instantly going to make you happy by dropping numbers in the scale, it's not the case. And actually, matter of fact, over time, if that's your primary focus, dropping numbers in the scale is only going to make you more upset or more depressed in yourself or more self-conscious, because you become so overly focused on that number. You become so overly focused on just the way that you look. And I'm speaking from experience here, because I went through years of just the bodybuilding training. I don't mind bodybuilding training. I think if you enjoy it, 100% do it. But I think when you're going into the gym with the sole focus to change the way you look, you're going in there looking at the way you look all the time. And you're like, oh my God, I want to get bigger biceps, I want to get a bigger stomach. The more we look at it, the more self-critical we become. And then what's going to happen is you're going to beat yourself up and end up less self-confident than before you went in the first place. And that's why there's the big misconception that all these guys in the gym, the big bodybuilders, that, again, going back to maybe why women might be afraid to go in or whatever, that they are judge people and that they are these people that are really self-confident or whatever. Most of them in there are actually the most unconfident people you'll ever meet, and it's because they're constantly in the gym trying to change it the way they look and constantly so self-critical that that's what pushes them to go. And it's so to change that, I think, is a massive one, and this podcast is part of that. So I hope after the marathon is done, it doesn't change, it doesn't stop.
We'll see after we pass the finish line.
You'll fly it, I know.
Hopefully.
Any nerves from yourself, I suppose that'll be a good question to ask you. What are you most nervous about with the run coming up, and anything you're expecting?
What am I most nervous about? I just want to get through it.
Yeah.
That's the main thing. My biggest nerves are between now and then, am I going to pick up an injury? Am I going to pick up an illness? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's the last thing I want to do. I'm kind of at a space where I feel good, I'm fit, my cardio is very good. I need the body to respond with me and be good too. Just no sickness, no illness, no injuries. If I can get through that, I'll be happy. You know what I mean? Like, we did a half marathon 2 days ago, and even yesterday, I probably could have been able to go for a run if I wanted to. And like, that's for me to kind of say that is unbelievable that I can get to that level. So I trust in the plan. I trust in what I've been doing. I trust in the physio that's been working with me to get to that point as well. I just need to stay injury free and illness free, and if I can do that, I'll be happy. I just want to go out and enjoy the marathon.
Yeah. I think that's the most important part, is to like be able to enjoy it, because if you are sick or injured, you'd be a little bit nervous or anxious about it. But I've no doubt, even if both of those things happen, that you'd be fine. 100%, no doubt in my mind. I think anybody, and anybody even sitting listening to this, if you wanted to finish 42 kilometres, you could finish it. As in, it's just, and that's not to demean people who run, people who run marathons are absolutely crazy. People who are finishing them in 5-6 hours, however long, it's absolutely crazy. Like, one of the best feats you'll ever finish. But I think everybody, if you even had to walk the fucking thing, you could go out and walk 42 kilometres and push yourself to that. The mind is kind of the biggest thing that holds you back. Your body is a lot stronger than what you think it is, and injury wise and stuff, like, you got the best job at going to a physio and speaking to them, speaking to the experts in the field, getting a couple of different ideas off different people and figuring it out. Meanwhile, I think for a lot of people that would actually cause a lot of paralysis. So as in, like, they wouldn't solve the problem, because, like, I don't want to look at it. I don't want to look in the injury side of things or how to solve any of that, because that's just going to happen to me. Or if I do get injured, sure, that's all ruined and then catastrophize the whole entire thing. Meanwhile, your mindset was completely different, which takes time to build. Is like, okay, all right, look, I'm injured. What's the next best thing I can do here? Can I still get out and do my runs, or can I seek someone that's going to help me out?
Absolutely. And before I let you go, Ocean, actually, one thing I want to ask you about is we're now about a week and a half left to go. I've been told I have to carb load.
Yes.
What is carb loading?
So essentially, we have storages of carbs within our muscles and within our liver, a good amount of it as well. So mainly in our muscles, depending on how much muscle mass we have. Essentially what it is loading up an energy. It's like putting petrol in your car. So because you've been running and you've been training quite a bit, your glycogen stores, which are in your muscles, is probably quite low because you've been using it on a day-to-day basis. So what you do previous to a marathon or to a long run, because you load up on carbohydrates to fill up your glycogen store, so you're filling up your fuel tank essentially, so that when you get to the race or to run, it's a little bit easier because you have them extra stores of fuel. Our body primarily likes to use our glycogen stores, carbohydrates, as fuel. It will then secondary start to use fat, and then if no fat, no protein is available, or no fat and no carbohydrates available, it'll break down your protein, your muscle mass, start to use, and that's what you want to avoid.
Okay.
Fat for fuel is a little bit slower, so it's a little bit harsher in the body. Not harsher in the body, but it's just slower, so you're like, the amount of energy that you get off the back of it isn't going to be great, unless you're kind of fat adapted where you're just having a really, really high fat diet. That'll generally be a little bit better. But then carbohydrates is our main source, which you kind of want to load up on as much as possible. Now, again, there's different recommendations for people. I don't know them off the top of my head, but like good places to go to look them up would be Lane Norton on Instagram. He's absolutely brilliant. There's a couple of other performers. So I can't remember the guy's name. I'd love to give him a shout out. He's from Australia. He came in and spoke to my group, but he does mad trail runs and stuff. But he's good information. I'll send it on to you after. But yeah, so the goal is to just eat not as many carbohydrates as possible, but a measured amount that it's going to fill up your glycogen stores. Might be something 1.5 grams or 4 grams per pound of body weight or something like that. And so what you do is just measure. Generally, I'd use my fitness pal. It's what I did for mine. Just scan in my fitness pal and look at how many carbohydrates you're finishing the day with. Not only that, you want to try and give yourself enough overall calories as well. So not just carbohydrates, but just a good amount of calories, because fats are important for our hormone health. Fats are also important for absorption of vitamins and stuff. And then make sure that you have a good bit of salt, so you can kind of load up on water as well. As I said, like, if you're just drinking water and not having electrolytes or salt within your diet, what's going to happen is you're just going to end up flushing out all the electrolytes, and then muscle contractions are harder, and being active is a little bit more difficult. Energy levels might start to drop. So yeah, regards to carbohydrate load, like, it's scientific things I don't really know. I can tell you what I had a big bowl of cereal, I had a bowl of oats, I had a big bowl of pasta with chicken in it, I had this was the day before, I think I had donuts or something like that as well. Wouldn't be classed as the most, again, healthy thing on planet Earth, but they're full of carbohydrates. And this is where nutrition is so complicated and so nuanced, because some people might be like, oh, donuts are bad, carbohydrates are bad, cereal's bad.
Yeah,
it's bad if you are overeating on calories and you don't have a specific goal or whatever. I don't even say it's bad, but it's bad if that's your whole entire diet.
Yeah.
If our focus is weight training, or our focus is that side of things, actually it's important that we can get some carbohydrates in prior to training, because it's going to give
us
more energy.
The energy, yeah.
Yeah. So it's a difficult one, but yeah, as for glycogen and recommendations and carb loading, I don't know, but definitely do it.
Brilliant. You know, I've been kind of training myself of a Saturday night to eat a lot of pasta and breads, that kind of stuff. Then the following morning, some porridge as well.
Yes.
And that kind of gives me just enough to get through a long run, let's say 10 or 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. So.
I think the most important meal is probably the one that you eat before going. And this is where you need to like have an idea of what sits in your stomach for like your runs and stuff. And because if you go off the basis of someone's recommendation online, your digestion might not be the exact same as them, and that's why it's difficult. So I would definitely practice now your next one of like, what do I actually eat in the morning time, make sure I have a similar meal or keep the same prior to going in. Because again, some people would think, oh sure, fruit or a big bowl of porridge might be really good before going out for a run, but fibre content can digest at different rates in people. Like for me, it would take me ages to digest fibre, and therefore when I have a big bowl of oats, I can stay bloated and I won't feel as good.
Yeah.
So that might not be, that's why I go for the simple Rice Krispies, have less fibre in them and digest a little bit quicker. But you'll figure that out anyways, and at the end of the day, about 20 minutes into a run, you'll forget about all that anyway.
100%. Oisín Mulligan from Mulligan's Fitness. Check him out on social media. He's absolutely brilliant. At Lone Man as well, local man. Yeah, important to get that in.
Some people will hate me for it though.
Not at all. Not at all, Oisín.
Thanks Oisín, a million.
Thanks so much. Friday was a rest day, Saturday was a rest day as well, and then it was on to our long run on Sunday.
So it's Easter Sunday morning, and sure, nothing better to be doing of an Easter Sunday than running a half marathon as we prepare to run this full marathon in, I can actually say it's less than 2 weeks technically until we kick off. That's scary.
Yeah, it's less than 14 days now, Peter. Yeah. Actually, this time, 14 days time, we will be on the roads of Manchester. All for the good cause of Bairdstown.
Hopefully halfway through the stage.
Oh, I tell you, I've just been spending the last week, actually, I meant to say it to you earlier, I've been sitting in the van, driving the van for work, visualising myself crossing that finish line. I've actually watched a video thinking, like, you know, what it looks like, and I'm like, here's me and Peter crossing the line, here's me and Peter crossing the line. And then I start getting these phantom pains, I'm going, oh, my hamstring, and you're sitting still, and you're like, that can't be my hamstring. But look, it's going to be great. You know, we've come so far since, what, we're due to start the day before Christmas Eve, this plan started.
Yeah.
And we did 7K that week. I remember we did a local one and we were absolutely battered.
Yeah.
And I went home and I was delighted with myself because I hadn't run that long in a while. And then I went, just have another five of them to do. Oh, God. But no, we've come through illness, injury. What else have we had?
Multiple injuries, illness, ups and downs.
Oh, just
self-confidence battering you as well. But I think we've got to a point now where we got through the half marathon this morning. We're on our way down now. We're going to take it easier next week. We're going to take it easier during the week. And if we get through that, fingers crossed, we should be okay. But let's not get complacent and let's not think we're there already, because we still have 2 weeks worth of work to do before we get there, don't we?
Absolutely. So it'll all be about nutrition and hydration and all that kind of stuff, but we've all that kind of sorted with our long run, so you know what you're going to eat the day before, the day, the morning, the whole lot.
Yeah.
So we certainly know what we're going to eat after it.
Oh, and drink, absolutely.
A lot.
of water to replenish.
Absolutely.
And actually, funny enough, you mentioned Christy crossing the finish line. Come round here to me. Round here, let's show you something. Okay. I'm just at the side of my car. So the kids did this for you, Christy. This is a picture of myself and yourself crossing the finish line at Manchester.
That is unbelievable. I was looking for something for Instagram or whatever else, and I just found it.
And you see, we have medals around our necks. Look.
This is unreal. Cormac and Cuiva, a pair of legends.
And look, you're considerably taller than me in the picture, just like you are in real life.
That's true. Actually, do you know something? It's somebody's birthday tomorrow. I wonder if this is a ploy for an extra present.
It could be, actually. It could be. You never know.
Yeah, I must ask her tomorrow now. I might bring this tomorrow and just have a little quiet word. What's this about? Is this for an extra present or what?
That's to butter you up a little bit. And actually, I have another one here. And that's me and you crossing the finish line. Cormac through this. And that guy behind is David Hollywood from Midlands 103 Sport, who's struggling to keep up.
I tell you what though, he nearly looks better there than he does.
He looks happier there.
Yeah,
than
yeah. David, if you're listening, I'll send it to you on social media somehow.
And there you go. There's an old banner for you too as well. The kids made that up for you. Actually, that's why I was late for the run this morning, because I got a call to say, you forgot to bring the pictures with you, so I had to go back to the house and pick them up and come back.
Fair play to them. They're unreal. Yeah, they'll be on my wall now and for the next week. So the first thing I see now will be all the nice drawings and everything. They're class.
There you go.
Thanks a million, Cormac and Cuivi. They're absolutely brilliant. So right, Peter's interviewed everybody and anybody in the last few weeks for the podcast. So it's time for me to interview him. So you're about to learn a bit about Peter Dunn.
I hate being interviewed, by the way.
That's fine. So I have a few questions and I have a few quick fire questions.
Right.
Right. Right, so Peter, you're doing a marathon. Why are you running a marathon? Like, you could have done a triathlon, you could have done anything that's so much easier. Why are you running a marathon?
I don't know, to be honest, Christy. I don't know. Like, we were chatting about it there one night and I thought, that sounds like a good idea. But, you know, the more and more I thought about it, the more I kind of, you often see people pounding the roads and you're wondering, why are they doing it?
Yeah.
And there has to be a reason behind that. And in order to try and find out, you kind of have to do it yourself. You know, it takes one to know one. So
a marathon's a good introduction to what you want to run.
I think so. But no, look, we're going to do some good for Barrystown as well. We're going to do what we can. So,
absolutely.
You know, let's give it a bash. So, yeah, it'll be an adventure.
It sure will. And just leading on to that, I suppose, what does your sporting background look like? And I'm not talking about PE in school either now. Like, did you play soccer or play a bit of five-a-side or any kind of sport?
Yeah, I used to play with Mullingar Town football years ago for a few years. That was great crack. And played with Clonkill as well, the mighty Clonkill.
Up over that.
We got two county medals out of that as well, so that was pretty good. Under 16s, under 18s. So that was always a lot of fun. After that, it was just a bit of five-a-side every so often. And the older you get and the more you discover women and a few pints, you know, the more sport takes a backseat.
The downfall of many a man. So we have, if you want to qualify for the Olympics, it's 2 hours 18. Any plans now?
Well, if somebody drops me from a height, I might do it in 2 hours 18. I might do 26 miles from the sky, no bother.
Are you thinking about doing anything else? Like, would you ever try a triathlon or a duathlon, which is run, bike and run? Or would you like to try anything else? Have you thought about anything else out in your runs?
I like the thoughts of duathlon, all right, with running and cycling. But not a triathlon because I can't swim for the life of me, so not a hope.
What motivates you? Like, outside of, other than the charity, like, have you any, like, heroes or anything or, like, I don't know, you might have anything that motivates you?
Laura and the kids, obviously. That has to be number one. You know, they'd be a big motivation. And, you know, as well as that, you want to set an example for your kids. So, you know, there's no point in telling them to do something and it's good for you if you're not going to do it. So, I suppose you have to set an example for them. And look, you can't do anything like this, Chrissy, without support from other people. So from the likes of yourself as well, you know, from Laura, from the kids, and kind of giving you that time and space to go and put in the work, because it's a lot of time, it's a lot of effort as well. So, you know, you need that.
Yeah, I was just going to say there, like, it's your work, run and family life balance, like, you know, it does take sacrifice. Like, we're out, you probably left the house at maybe 9:30 this morning, and it's now 12:10, and that's family time on a Sunday, you know.
Yeah, and it does kind of take away from when you say, oh, we'll go somewhere of a Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, we'll head somewhere for the crack or whatever, and you're going, I have to get a long run in, you know what I mean? And you don't want to be the spoiled sport or anything, but again, I suppose you try and have to work around, you have to work your marathon around life as well.
You do.
You know.
You do. And it's like, a marathon in itself is challenging, but the training is very challenging. So, like, have you found any big challenges now in the training? Or, like, have the long runs been your biggest challenge where you thought, right, have another kilometre to do this week, or have another mile to do this week? Or
Yeah, definitely long runs at the weekend. My biggest challenge is the injuries.
Yeah.
You know, like, I said from the start, look, what we'll do is we'll be honest about this.
Yeah.
And my honesty is the injuries, you know. And maybe it's not me looking after myself properly. Maybe it's, you know, not stretching properly or getting the proper treatment for it. But, you know, maybe I have to look into it. But my biggest challenge so far is, as I'm rubbing my calf muscle here, it's the injuries.
And you are going from 0 to 42k, so, you know, that has to be factored in.
Yeah, it's realistic, but I suppose.
Yeah, but fair, like, the admiration I have for you for doing it is mad. So,
oh, cheers, Chris.
I appreciate you. So far, would you recommend it to somebody else?
Yeah, so far, like, it is amazing. Like after finishing that, sure, you're buzzing afterwards.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
the adrenaline you feel after doing that is incredible.
Yeah, the endorphins or whatever. It's nuts. Like,
absolutely. Like, it is amazing. But there's more to it than just the running. You know what I mean? Obviously your health improves and everything.
Yeah.
You know, you've that sense of accomplishment too. And look, as I was saying earlier, if we can do something good, then we can do something good. Let's raise a few bob for Barrystown.
So while we're doing it, exactly. Which is for short or long runs.
Short bursts, yeah. I can be very impatient.
That's very true. Do you listen to any music or do you listen to any podcasts?
I listen to the Get Active podcast on Midlands 103.
Oh. No way, do you?
No, I do. I listen to music during the week when I run, and I have a little playlist that I put together, and it's all kind of upbeat, trying to keep to that tempo of running.
Any genres?
A bit of everything. It's funny. There's pop, there's rock, there's dance, there's hip hop, there's grime music. There's all sorts in there.
You're a bit like myself. I've Frank Sinatra and I have Slayer on mine. So
Frank Sinatra and Slayer. What an eclectic mix. Yeah. I love it. But it's whatever keeps you going, isn't it? Whatever keep
your
pace up.
Slower music and classical music to run with.
Which
is fair enough. And my last kind of more longer question is, if you could choose one celebrity to run with, who would you run with?
Oh, one celebrity to run with. I think I'd love to run with Roy Keane.
Would you, yeah?
Because I think he'd just be great crack and have great stories.
Mine is similar to yours, actually. And I watched a podcast. It's a podcast and a vlog or whatever. Is Ronnie O'Sullivan.
Oh, yeah.
He's a runner himself.
That's right, yeah, he runs.
I'd love to spend a day in that man's head. His mentality for snooker, his mentality for life, his mentality for mental health is just different to anybody I've ever watched. And I usually listen to podcasts and you'd be kind of zoning in and zoning out. I watched that video and I watched it intently. I sat down to have a drink and I ended up sitting down for the whole hour just listening to him and his body language and his everything. I just find him incredible. So
he's
definitely mine.
That's amazing. And I suppose he has the personality of an elite athlete as well. Some people might look at snooker and go, it's hardly, but it's the mindset that sets people apart from being absolute champions and being contenders.
He's probably the greatest of all time, and I don't think
hands down,
that will argue with that.
True.
Right, P, you have a few quick fire questions.
Oh, lovely.
Quick as you can. First job. Yeah.
Packing shelves and Super Value.
Good stuff. Favourite food?
Duck.
Fair enough. Favourite month?
Probably August, because it's my birthday.
Same as that. We're not too far away, actually.
Yeah, true.
Your last holiday?
It was to Salou.
Nice. Your favourite Midlands 103 presenter, other than yourself?
It has to be Roy Jennings. Not because he's the boss, but, you know, because he's really cool at what he does.
Up here. That's fair enough. Your favourite dessert?
Toblerone cheesecake.
Nice, Wholesome Kitchen, shout out to
Wholesome Kitchen. Yeah, the nice desserts in the world.
Here's an odd one for you. Your favourite word in another language?
It's dedos de los pies.
What does that mean?
Your toes in Spanish. And the direct translation is fingers of the foot. It always tickles me.
I love it. Your favourite music genre?
Old school hip hop from the 90s.
Nice. Dream job as a child?
Striker for Manchester United. Yeah. I'm still holding on to that dream, Christy.
You wouldn't mind the money.
Well, they're hiring dodgy strikers, so I could be in with a shot.
Any hidden talents?
I can wiggle my ears.
Nice.
Yeah, look, watch this.
It's true.
Yeah, there you go.
For people who can't see this, and none of you can see this, it's true.
It's confirmed.
And the last question, probably the hardest question you'll ever get asked in your life.
Oh, lovely.
Man United don't exist. Is it Liverpool or City?
Oh, I'd just take up golf.
I love it.
Right, we'll truck on, so.
We sure will.
We'll take it easy for the next couple of days, back in the short runs, and then meet you here for a long run next week. How's that?
We might have an added surprise next week.
Oh no, not another added surprise.
And we're doing all this in aid of Barrowstown Children's Charity. We have just about a week and a half to go until we tackle the Manchester Marathon. And we're asking you to donate €10 or more to our iDonate page. And you can find that when you log on to Midlands103.com and click on Get Active. You can find our iDonate page pinned to the top of our socials. And remember, when you donate €10 or more, not only will you be helping an absolutely incredible cause, you will be entered into a draw to win a signed Manchester United jersey.
Get active with Midlands 183, powered by HereMed Healthcare in the heart of Tullamore. Here when you need us. HereMed.ie.